Of course, on Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning via Zoom. Also, Tuesday night we'll continue at least one more of our virtual fellowship gathering on Zoom. So if you need that link, let us know and we'll send it to you. But we're glad for the technology that's available that we can continue to meet in that way, albeit remotely. We also will be handing out backpacks this week as usual. And if there's anyone who wants to volunteer for helping in that way, please let us know. And our partnership with Mar Azul in our kitchen will continue to put out about 1,000 to 2,000 meals every week. And so we're grateful for those efforts as well. Now, if you'd like to support us, and we do need your support, please go to our website at secondunion.org, and you can click donate and pay through PayPal. You can send us a check by mail, or you can also use the ATH. There should be a number there, 787-501-1749. So we're grateful for your support. God's been good to provide in this difficult time, and we're trusting Him to continue to do that. So I would say at this point, pass the peace of Christ. Those of you who are home may do so. Those of you who are here may pass the peace this way. In the meantime, I'd like Gustavo to come forward and lead us in our call to worship.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's certainly very pleasing to be back here and see more faces. And I'm happy for those that are joining us from home as well. I'm so thrilled and joyful for this day. You know, as uncomfortable as it is to wear this, I have noticed these last weeks that it has its benefits, right? For example, for those of us that find it, you know, problematic to trim those nose hairs, you can wear this and, you know, nobody noticed. And if you're one of those that don't like to smile that much, and you see people, you know, on the street, you just do this, and they believe you're smiling, so you can get away with that, you know? You do this, and, oh, he's happy. No, I'm not, but because I'm wearing a mask. But anyways, it's for your own good and for my good as well. So if you have any other upside of wearing a mask, let us know. In the meantime, let's start with a call to worship. The voice of our God and King is heard in blessing as it echoes in its majestic powers over all creation. The voice of God is heard in all creation, and it responds with joy to the voice of its creator, sustainer, and renewer. We come to worship our God and to celebrate the way we are welcome into God's glorious presence. The voice of our holy God is heard in the sacred spaces, and God's grace is received as we worship. Amen. All right, now we get ready to celebrate and worship through song of praises. As a reminder of those of us that are here, please don't sing out loud. And those of you at home, you know, knock yourself out.
Good morning. It's good to be with you virtually and in reality. Just so you know, my mask is off, but I have cleared 12 feet in front of me, so I won't be projecting on anybody. And if you remember that when people sing, their voices travel, or their breath travels quite far, so we want to be extra cautious about that. So we hope that you at home will enjoy the singing, singing with us, and you who are here, sing in your hearts as we praise the Lord this morning. Sing praise to the Father, Creator and King, who His mercy has taught us a new song to sing. Who made us and loved us, though rebels and lost, and planned our redemption at infinite cost. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, for the grace that redeems, for the love that makes whole. O come and adore Him, His glories proclaim, and worship before Him, the Lord is His name. Sing praise to the Savior, Redeemer and Friend, for grace past all telling, who stripped off His glory, put on mortal sin, and died in our stead, full atonement to win. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, for the grace that redeems, for the love that makes whole. O come and adore Him, His glories proclaim, and worship before Him, the Lord is His name. Sing praise to the Spirit, the gift of God's love, who quickens our hearts with new life from above, who subdues us and seals us His own, and faultless presents us before the white throne. Praise the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, for the grace that redeems, for the love that makes whole. O come to adore Him, His glories proclaim, and worship before Him, the Lord is His name. Sing praise to the Father, sing praise to the Son, sing praise to the Spirit, that God three in one, the God of salvation, of glory, of grace, who wrought our redemption, my soul sing His praise. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, for the grace that redeems, for the love that makes whole. O come and adore Him, His glories proclaim, and worship before Him, the Lord is His name. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And I will see how great is our God! Age to age He stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye made blind by sin, thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Praise the Lord. All right, so please join me in the prayer of confession. It's going to be coming up on the screen. Holy and triune God, you alone live in perfect relationship, one God in three persons, mutual and loving, ever seeking reconciliation and unity. You have called us to live in your completion, yet we confess that our relationships are imperfect and we are incomplete without you. We are selfish and greedy. We are anxious and resenting. We feel the shame of our foolish behavior and brokenness. We have allowed sin to drive us apart from one another and from you. Forgive us and restore us. Draw us close and bind us together in your mercy. May we long for wholeness and peace. May we strive towards gratitude and grace in the saving name of your Son, Jesus Christ. By the working power of your Holy Spirit, amen. Now take these minutes to have some silent personal reflection.
Oh Lord, we have much to repent of, both individually, personally, as a community, as an island, as a nation. Lord, our sin has torn us away from you and has divided us amongst ourselves because of our short-sightedness, our selfishness, and our perverse desire to rebel against your good commandments, most particularly your commandment to love. Lord, we come knowing that our sin grieves you greatly. We know that even though you are merciful and loving, that that creates a breach between us, and that breach causes our lives to wither, because we are cutting ourselves off from the source of life itself. Therefore, we take this time each week to make this confession unto you, to start the week out right, this the first day of the week, that we might be right with you, we might be reconciled to you, that we might be connected to you, so that we can go out and carry out the ministry of reconciliation in our world that needs it so greatly. We're grateful for the forgiveness that is ours in Christ, and we claim that today through him by faith. We're grateful that you want to heal our hearts, you want to heal our communities, and you want to heal our nation. Lord, if we return to you and once again make you the foundation and the God of our nation, then we know that your blessings will flow from that. Lord, we're grateful too as an individual congregation that at least some of us can physically gather together here today. Lord, we continue to pray for this pandemic. We pray for its effects upon our society in terms of our health, our hospitals, our hospital workers, and also individuals, Lord, who are affected. We pray for healing for those who are. We pray for protection for those who aren't. And we ask that you bring us through this crisis quickly. Lord, we also pray for those business people who've lost their businesses. We pray for those who are trying to get back into business. We pray for those who've lost their jobs and are trying to get back on the job. We pray for economic restoration. We pray for provision. And we pray that we, as your people, would be reminded that there are those around us in great need and despair, and that we would be especially gracious, as you've been so gracious unto us. Lord, we pray that we would persevere. Lord, we on this island have faced so many adversities in the last several years. Sometimes we've wondered, Lord, if you're still with us. But we know that you are, for you have brought us through every single one of these challenges. And we know that you will bring us through this one as well. So we pray once again for your grace upon us, your peace upon us, that we would be peacemakers in the world in which you placed us. Lord, to that end, we want to pray the perfect prayer together, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We are so glad that you can join us today. Our text is taken from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. I'll be reading from Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31. Those of you who are here today, I invite you to stand for the gospel lesson. Actually, this is not the gospel lesson, but stand anyway. This is the Word of God. How's that? We read here in Genesis 1:26, Then God said, Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, including the serpents. God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, I see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. You know, on this Trinity Sunday and the ecumenical doctrine that it represents of the divine essence expressed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I'm reminded of a pastor I read about who said that he does not like to preach doctrinal sermons. And the reason he doesn't like to preach doctrinal sermons is because people don't understand them usually and they're boring. That's what he says. In fact, he says, I am not a theologian. I'm a preacher. I'm concerned about practical matters, not theoretical matters. That's what he said. And I think we can all appreciate those words, for I know that each of you has sat through a boring doctrinal sermon. The reason I know that is because I've preached a few of those sermons. I know for a fact that you've sat through a few of those, but as I think about this, I ask you, is that preacher speaking the truth? When he says he's not a theologian, I would say he's not speaking the truth. Because all of us are theologians, whether we know it or not. Even an atheist is a theologian when he says, there is no God and the Bible is not true. That, too, is a theological statement, is it not? Likewise, I would challenge that pastor's claim that theology has nothing to do with practical everyday issues, for I would argue that theology has everything to do with everyday practical issues. Indeed, what we believe about God, what we believe in our theology, what we believe about humanity is going to affect how we live. I mean, it's the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Good things in, good things out. If we have good theology, we'll have good living. If we have poor theology, we're going to have the reverse. But not only is that true in the Christian world, that is those who demean theology, but it's also true in the secular world by those who don't believe Christians should bring their religious beliefs into the public square, into public discussion, into politics, keep religion out. In other words, they believe that separation of church and state means not freedom of religion, but freedom from religion. That is freedom from our religion. And they want us to just shut up and stop talking about God and stop talking about the values of the Bible. Right? Isn't that pretty much their attitude in the secular world? It is. So let's respond to those within the church who disdain theology, and let's respond to those outside the church who disdain theology by looking at this one verse, verse 26, which carries a ton of theology and practical advice in terms of how we should live. That's verse 26 that reads, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And on this Trinity Sunday, we don't have to look too hard there at that verse to see echoes of the Trinity and its doctrine, where God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, right? Now, granted, I am not one to argue that when Moses was inspired to write that he didn't have a full-fledged, developed Christian theology of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That would be ludicrous. However, I do believe that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write those words to express the principle there of unity and diversity. For do not we see that in reality? Don't we see that in nature? And don't we see that in God's nature of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Not three gods, but one God expressed in three ways, three personas. Right? And don't we see that even in marriage? As we read the next verse, that God created man in his image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, do you see that? Even in marriage, there's diversity and unity. I mean, contrary to what the secular world tells us, the Bible tells us that there is a distinction between men and women, male and female, right? And you know what I say? Great. Viva la différence. I mean, how boring. How boring would it be to be married to someone just like you, right? That would be tedious. I know. I've been living that way all week. Christy's up in Michigan with her mother. I'm getting tired of myself. God is not boring. God's not tedious. I mean, you can see that in creation. He loves diversity. But he also loves unity. And we see that in his being. And we see that principle even in our own republic. Here as the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and as the United States. In fact, if you pull out a dollar bill from your billfold and you turn it on the back, what do you read there? Number one, you read, "In God we trust." It's still there, folks. But you also read a little Latin phrase there on the side, if you look real closely, and it's E pluribus unum, which means out of the many, one. Unity and diversity, diversity and unity. See, it's right there in that logo. So just as there's unity and diversity in the Godhead, there's unity and diversity in marriage, in nature, in society, and even in government. Amen? And that's good theology. So if you're one of those clergy people who want to throw out theology, you're going to throw that out as well. And if you're one of those secular folk who want to throw that out, then you're throwing that out as well, aren't you? So the first thing that we need to see here today is that there's unity and diversity in all of reality, in all of nature, including God's nature. But the second thing that we need to see here is the second part of this verse. For God says, let us what? Let us make man. Let us create man. Let us design humanity in our image. You see, our belief in creationism versus evolutionism is a critical belief. That's a critical doctrine that has far-reaching effects in every area of our life. And as I said before, I'll say it again, I don't have any problem with the science of evolution. I don't have any problem with the process of evolution, at least microevolution. But I do have a problem with the theology and the philosophy of secular naturalistic evolutionism, because what does that philosophy teach? It teaches that this all happened by accident, that there's no God, there's no designer, there's no meaning, there's no purpose. We're just here by chance. Now, why don't we believe that? Why? Well, first of all, because the Bible doesn't believe that. We just read the exact opposite, that God did not create the universe by natural evolutionary accident, but by what? By His own design. That's in the Scripture. But not only do I believe that for theological reasons, but I also believe that for logical reasons. Indeed, last week, or a week ago Saturday, some of you watched the launch of the SpaceX capsule. It was the first manned rocket in years. And it went up and it actually merged with the International Space Station. Elon Musk, the guy's a genius, right? That was very exciting. But how many of you remember, and I know I'm dating myself, back to the Apollo 11 mission back in 1968, around Christmas Eve, we sent up three astronauts by the name of Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anderson. And those astronauts got out in space, and what happened to them is what seems to have happened to every astronaut who's gone out in space. As they get projected out into space, they look back at planet Earth. And they look at Earth and they go, wow, oh my goodness. I had no idea. It is so beautiful. It is so colorful. It is so alive and complex and amazing, because there it is in all of its diversity, in contrast to the desolation of the moon, in contrast to the void of space. There's this amazing planet Earth. And you have to look at that and say, wow, that couldn't have just happened by accident. It couldn't have been just so perfectly placed in the solar system to produce life by chance. It had to happen by the hand of God. And that Christmas Eve, do you remember, those three astronauts had the audacity to read different portions of the Holy Bible. In fact, of the passage that precedes our passage today in Genesis 1, where they read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And we know that with that light, with that energy came life. in all its diversity and complexity and beauty, that this was not an accident of evolution. And to believe otherwise, I believe, is not only unbiblical, but illogical, because it contradicts the law of cause and effect. That you can't get something from nothing. You can't get something with an amazing design without an amazing designer. Isn't that logical? It is. In fact, famous mathematician, astronomer Fred Hoyle figured out the odds of what it would take for this to all happen by chance. Do you know what the odds are? 1 to 10? 1 to 100? 1 to 1,000? No. 1 to 1 times 10 to the 40th power. That's a 10 with 40 zeros after. Those are pretty long odds. How many of you would go to Vegas and bet $100 against those odds? How many of you would bet $10? How many of you would even bet $1? Well, guess what? You're betting your life. You're betting your soul. You're betting your eternal life if you're betting that this is all here by chance. Those are some pretty bad odds for a very high wager. Think about that. So, if you claim that life just happened here by chance, then I have to tell you, you have more faith than I do. You believe in an interesting religion, a far-fetched religion, and you're trying to impose your religious ideas on me. So I say to you, back off. That's the second thing we need to see in this terse verse. But the third and final thing we need to see is that God created you and me in His own image. For is that not the end of our key verse today, which reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Wow. Think about that for a second. Made in God's image. I mean, friends, those are some very powerful theological and sociological and political truths right there. Think about that. Why? Well, scholars tell us that the Hebrew word there for image was used in Egyptian culture by the kings of Egypt to describe their place in the universe. They were representatives, they were icons, they were made in the image of the gods, and they represented the gods to the nation. But that word image was exclusive for the king. It was not even used of the vice president. It wasn't used of the generals of the army. It was certainly not used of the poor schlubs who were digging the canals leading into the River Nile. It was exclusively a royal term. Only the king represented the image of God. But compare that to the Judeo-Christian tradition, where it is a description of every woman and man, every boy and girl, every human being, no matter what their race, creed, color, or whatever. We are all made in God's image. And don't miss the importance of that concept and the theological, sociological implications, for they are revolutionary. They are. In fact, I like to say that when it comes to politics and Jesus, Jesus' politics are way more radical, way more liberal than most of us want to go. And Jesus' politics are at the same time way more conservative than most of us would want to be identified with. Don't you agree? Case in point, the Judeo-Christian concept of equality is built upon theology that humanity is created in the image of God. So that not only implies that you and I are equal, it also implies what? That you and I have inestimable worth and value. That we are like God. Because we are like God, we are made in His image. And this theology was embedded into our politics from the very beginning. In fact, contrary to the militant atheist who claims that our political discourse ought to have nothing to do with God, that our laws ought to have nothing to do with the laws of God, the earliest documents of our nation, the earliest document, says the opposite. In fact, what does the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence say? It says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are what? Evolved by accident? Is that what the Declaration of Independence says? All men were created. And how were they created? They were created equal. And they were endowed by natural selection. They were endowed by their creator. There it is, folks. That's Judeo-Christian theology, embedded in the earliest document of our nation. Our basis for equality goes back to our belief in a creator God who made us in His image. And this statement is far more radical than any other. In fact, way more radical than our own Constitution, right? Because the Constitution contradicts those words, don't they? Because we know that the Constitution embedded into it the horrible institution of racial slavery. The Three-Fifths Compromise was that compromise with the devil. Right? Therefore, when Abraham Lincoln wanted to argue to free the slaves, he had to go back beyond the Constitution. He had to go to the Declaration, which goes all the way back to our text today here in Genesis. Indeed, this was a radical concept that had radical implications. Therefore, it was way, way, way ahead of its time. In fact, it was so far ahead of time, it was ahead of time itself, for it goes back to the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we know that that Word, Jesus, existed even before creation, right? So that goes back a long way. In fact, that's why when Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and I would like to remind people that that's his first title, remember that, Reverend King. And he was, by the way, a Baptist minister. Don't forget that. That's why when he gave his famous I Have a Dream speech back in 1963, he quoted those very words from our foundational doctrine, which was the basis of the civil rights movement, as it's based in the biblical affirmation of human equality and human value. That's why he compared that declaration that we just read to be like a promissory note given to every American. He declared that this note was a promise that all men, yes, black folk and white folk alike, would be guaranteed the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He continued to say back in 1963, quote, "It is obvious that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check. A bad check that has come back marked insufficient funds. We refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vault of opportunity of this nation. So we have come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of what? Of justice. Where do we get our concept of justice? From the Bible. Those are powerful words. Those are powerful words because they're prophetic words, because those words are rooted in God's word. Amen. But we know that just as you and I do not live up to the covenant that we have with God, our nation has not lived up to its covenants either. And as true Christians, therefore, we are all appalled by the bad check that was given to George Floyd through an unconscionable act at the hands of a person who supposedly represented the Bank of Justice. Instead of representing that Bank of Justice, he proved to be bankrupt in that act. And those who are peacefully protesting have every right to protest. In fact, they have an obligation to protest that. Amen? But the greater tragedy of all this is this was not an isolated incident. This was not a one-off. This is not just an anomaly, even in our modern times. And I am sad to say that this will probably not be the last time that something like that happens. So Dr. King's dream has yet to be realized, as that promissory note of hope is still waiting to be cashed. Amen? Thus, as Christians who believe in the Word of God, we cannot tolerate racism in any form or manner. As I've said before, I'll say it again. If you are a racist at heart, if you demean other people on the basis of their color or their race or their language or their class or anything external, then you do not belong in Second Union Church. I'm sorry. As Joe Ramos used to say, there are five ways to get out of this church. Choose one. We do not tolerate bigots. Unless you repent of that, you cannot be a member of this congregation. We need to make that clear. We do. But having said that, we must also live by the words and actions of that same Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who said that we need to change our world, but we cannot change it through violence or through looting or through hatred. Including the hatred of police officers. Indeed, we cannot vilify the many because of the idiocy of the few, as hate in any form, in any direction, is not of God. It is of the devil. It is of the evil one. It is out of the pit of hell. And it does not bring significant change. It does not bring real change. It does not bring transformation change. And we need to be aware of that. In addition, we need to remember that the radical declaration of the inalienable rights of human beings is sourced in the inestimable value of each individual, who's made in the image of God. Therefore, we value all people of all colors, all religions, all economic classes, all stages of life. Do we not? For we are pro-life by personal conviction, by political persuasion, and by reason of God's word, which we just read today. Amen? Therefore, be reminded of this. In 2019, police officers fatally shot 1,004 human beings in America. Of that 1,004, 265 were African American. Now, of that 1,004, it is claimed, it is argued that those collectively were shot because either they were armed or the police deemed them dangerous. Now, that is arguable. We don't know every circumstance. But one thing that is not arguable is the fact that 235 of those who were killed last year were African Americans. And that ratio is consistent back to 2015. Now, I don't know about you, but for whatever cause, 235 people shot is 235 too many. In fact, one would be too many. However, if we truly value life, and we truly adhere to the principle that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made, then we should also be concerned about not just the hundreds, not just the thousands, but the hundreds of thousands of black lives that are aborted, disproportionate, way disproportionate to the number of white lives that are aborted every year. In fact, if you look back to 1973, 17 million black lives have been aborted. That's almost three times the total number of Jews that Adolf Hitler exterminated. And if you look at those numbers, that's not birth control, folks. That's genocide. And we need to be concerned for those lives as well. Amen? But the point is, as we confront the darkness of racism and the senseless killing of George Floyd and the murder of so many others, let us not simply curse the darkness, but let us instead light a candle of hope as we seek justice in our world, as we celebrate life in our world, as we who have been reconciled to God are ministers of reconciliation in our world, that we might minister the ministry of grace, even as we've done here at Second Union through Embrace Grace. As we have helped women who are considering abortion to go full term, to bring those children to life, and then support those women and that child once life has come among us. So let's band together. And let's be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Let's be those who bring reconciliation and healing in a nation that's divided. And let us represent in our nature the nature of God, three in one, unity and in diversity. As God the Father has made us in His image, and even though we've corrupted that image by our rebellion, He sent God the Son to redeem us, and today He will send us the empowerment of His Holy Spirit that we might go forth and bring redemption through the preaching of the gospel to a world that needs to be reconciled. in Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much that You showed Your love for us. That while we were yet sinners, You reached out to us and showed us grace. Lord, as we look around us and we see things that we don't understand, Lord, we want to be bearers of that grace. We want to be carriers of that grace. We want to be communicators of that grace through Your love, through Christ. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us a self-image based on the reality that we're made in Your image. We thank You, Lord, that because of that, that has revolutionary implications, not only in our personal life, but in our government. Lord, we pray that that promissory note of Your promise of grace would be delivered through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before the benediction, I would like to ask Jeff and Tamara to come up front and socially distance from me.
You know, I was having a conversation with Brian Geis last week, and we were talking about Steve Jobs. And the story goes, Steve Jobs said to his tech people, got them together, he said, listen, this is back in the day, he said, I want to make a new phone. I want this phone not only to make phone calls, but I want you to be able to take pictures with this phone. I want you to be able to search the internet with this phone. I want you to be able to send texts with this phone. And on he went about all these things he wanted the phone to do. And they looked at him and said, are you nuts? Are you crazy?
We can't put that into one phone. He said, don't tell me you can't do it. Just get out there and do it. And, of course, the result was the iPhone. Well, I can kind of see God saying, you know what? I want a worship leader that not only can sing and lead worship, but he can also lead a choir. He can organize a cantata. He can do all the voices of the cantata and record it for those who sing the cantata. And he can play the piano. And he can play the organ. And he can lead worship. And everybody said, no way, God, that can't happen. And then Jeff Penn came along, who does all of those things in one person, and that's truly amazing. But what you do not know is Jeff would not be so amazing without Tamara behind him, who makes all of that possible in addition to him carrying a full-time job. As she takes care of all those details, she keeps him motivated, she keeps him blessed, and together they have journeyed all around the world and have had an incredible adventure in life. And we are so glad that God led you here to Puerto Rico to be a part of our life and to bless us with your gifts and presence. It's been amazing. They are off to the Czech Republic. They'll be living in Prague. And we are very excited for this opportunity for them, but we are very sad for ourselves in the great vacuum that will be created by their departure. But we want them to know as they leave that we love them so. So you don't forget Puerto Rico, we have a book for you about all of the beautiful beaches in Puerto Rico. And let me tell you something, the Czech Republic is a great place, but they ain't got no beaches.
No.
I know that. And in January and February, look at that book and think about us, okay? Secondly, Jeff and Tamara, since you've been so much a part of our music, I give you a DVD of some of the music here in Puerto Rico, as well as a gift to help you remember the artistry of Puerto Rico, too.
Thank you.
We love you guys, and we're going to pray for you now and send you off Godspeed. Lord, we thank you for Tamara and Jeff. Lord, we thank you for bringing them together as a team so many years ago. We thank you for their many adventures in so many places to serve in the realm of education, but also to serve the kingdom and every place they've been. We thank you that being here has been no exception. We thank you, Lord, for the way they've challenged us, the way they've blessed us, for who they are and the talents that you've given them. Continue to use them, bless them, and use those talents in the Czech Republic and beyond. And we're grateful, Lord, that at Second Union, we may be apart in distance, but we're still one church. Help them to be reminded of that we are forever their family. And we look forward to the reunion one day in that little department up in heaven just for Second Union. Lord, we're grateful for that. We give you the glory in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. All right, now we'll receive the benediction. Lord, we just pray that your peace be upon us as we go forth in a world that needs that peace. May we be the peacemakers that you call us to as your people. May you empower us. May you give us your love. May you give us your vision. May you give us your power to accomplish your vision. Bless us with that as we go forth in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.